Chapter 30, The Pope of Rome. We already know that formerly the preachers were called bishops. In the beginning of this book, we told you that. Bishop signifies overseer. We have told you about Polycarp, the bishop of Smyrna, about Ignatius, the bishop of Antioch. The term bishop has been used so often already. There were bishops from large places. There were bishops from small places. Naturally, all places were not the same size. There are very small villages, which are called hamlets. There are cities, capitals, and metropolises. The bishops of the villages did not have as large a congregation as the bishops of the cities. That is not so bad, is it? Why, no, that certainly is not bad. That is of no account. Did not the Lord Jesus himself say, "Even if only two or three were gathered in his name, there he shall be in their midst"? During the days of persecution, no one noticed that. But when the persecution stopped and the churches became rich, alas, then that changed. The bishops from the cities became rich, yea, wealthy. They lived in magnificent houses like unto palaces. The bishops from the small towns did not become rich. Neither was that bad at all. God has made both the poor and the rich. But it really was bad when the bishops from the larger cities became haughty. The devil of pride crept into their hearts. When God's servants became haughty and proud, then that always bears terrible consequences. The bishops from the large places considered themselves very important, and with a certain contempt they looked down upon their associates in office from the smaller places. They thought, "We really are more important than they." They did not only think that, but they also said it. They no longer considered the word bishop important enough. No, henceforth they began to call themselves archbishops. That sounded a little more dignified, isn't that so? Eventually, the archbishops from the large metropolises were no longer satisfied with the name archbishop either. For that reason, they thought of another name which sounded still more important. They had themselves addressed as patriarch. That sounded so nice and dignified. There were seven patriarchs in the large Roman Empire. The patriarchs also began to quarrel among themselves. They were jealous of each other. The one wanted to become more powerful and important than the other. Which of the seven patriarchs was the most important? The patriarch of Jerusalem said, "I am, because in my city the church of Pentecost originated." The patriarch of Constantinople said, "Why, no, I am the most important because the emperor and all his mighty ones dwell in Constantinople. My city is the court capital, the seat of government." Patriarch of Rome argued, "That is out of the question. I am the most important because the apostle Peter was the first bishop of Rome, and I am the successor of Peter." In that way, the patriarchs have quarreled with each other for many years. They were filled with envy and jealousy against each other. Finally, there were two patriarchs left who vehemently contended with each other. Who of them was now the most powerful? The patriarch of Constantinople demanded that the entire church listened to him. He wanted to rule the entire church. All the bishops from the small places, the archbishops from the larger cities, the patriarchs from the metropolises had to listen to him. They all had to obey him. The Patriarch of Rome said, I will never do that. All the others must listen to me. I am the most important. I want to rule the entire church. They all must obey me. It became an endless quarrel between those two. But finally, the Patriarch of Rome won out. He called himself the successor of Peter. Yea, worse, he called himself the vicar of Christ. He said that the Lord Jesus had appointed Peter as his vicar. For didn't the Lord say to Peter, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I build my church? The Patriarch of Rome said, Therefore Peter was the first bishop of Rome. There he ruled the church upon earth as vicar of Christ in the name of Jesus. We are the successors of Peter. Hence we are the vicars of Christ upon earth. We shall rule the church upon earth in the name of Christ. He went and called himself the Pope. That word really means alone Papa. Now we must not think that all this happened in a few years. Oh no, that took hundreds of years before it got that far. But alas, it did get that far. Finally, the entire church yielded to that. The system that all power rests with the Pope of Rome, and that all archbishops, bishops, and all the other clergymen are subjected to him, is called with the strange word, the hierarchy. The Pope of Rome rules over the archbishops and commands them what they must do and not do. But the archbishops rule over the bishops. The bishops have the oversight over the other clergymen, and they in turn are over the laymen, that is to say, the common people. Thus we can compare the hierarchy with a gradual descending church government. That system still prevails in the Roman Catholic Church. In that way, the church has become Roman Catholic. Perhaps it may be asked, is that good then? Why, no, that is not good. That is not good at all. Also, this system is a terrible error, which, alas, was also eventually believed. The Pope of Rome is not the vicar of Christ. The Lord Jesus himself rules and governs his church. He is the head of his church here upon earth. He is seated at the right hand of his Father, and from heaven he governs his church. It is absolutely not true that the Lord Jesus has appointed Peter as his vicar here upon earth. Peter did not come to Rome as bishop, but he went to Rome as apostle, the same as Paul. Both those apostles, Paul and Peter, were killed during the reign of Nero. Paul was beheaded because he was a Roman citizen, and Peter was crucified because he was a Jew. Besides, the Lord Jesus did not say that he would build his church upon Peter, but he would build his church upon the confession of Peter. What was that confession? During his sojourn upon earth, the Lord Jesus asked the disciples, Whom do men say that I am? To that they gave him this answer, Some say that thou art John the Baptist. Others believe that thou art Elijah. Others again say that thou art Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. After that, the Lord asked them personally, But whom say ye that I am? Peter gave an answer to that question. He answered, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well then, that confession that the Lord Jesus is the Son of God, who came to deliver his people from their sins, who came to die the accursed death of the cross, is the foundation upon which the entire church of God rests. By faith in that only Savior, God's people are delivered from their sins, and they shall praise God forever. For that reason, the Lord Jesus answered thereupon, "Upon this rock, upon this confession, I will build my church." Happily, God's church is not built upon Peter, upon a human being, but upon the rock of ages, upon the only and eternal Son of God. But Rome has made of it that the church is built upon Peter. Because that great lie was believed in the Roman Catholic Church, this church has become the false church. This is a gross disowning of Christ. I know that this part is still rather difficult for the younger ones, but I had to tell this because all these errors have finally become the cause that ages afterward the Reformation has come about. Ages later, God himself has raised up God-fearing men who have joined issue against that. God himself has delivered his church again from those terrible errors. It seemed as if the lie had conquered. It seemed as if the devil had been able, after all, to destroy the church of the Lord. But it only appeared so. In God's time, the Lord himself has led his church out of the power of Rome's errors. Later on, I hope to tell you much more about that.